true transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.
Interesting to be with God's people again. Hallelujah. Father, I want to bless your holy name. Thank you. You're faithful. You're kind. Thank you for all these people. Thank you for your wisdom that you've been making available. Thank you for being deliberate about the kind of persons we become. Thank you for structures you are helping families with ahead of time. Thank you for those who are married, who yet, while listening, will find wisdom and balm in Gilead for the healing of their homes. Thank you for the things you are doing. We bless you, Lord Jesus. So today I'm asking, Father, that in your mercy, you will yet speak to us. You will help our hearts. You would instruct us. You will particularly remove structures that we think you built, but you didn't build. We are asking, Lord, that you will show us great mercy. Do something new in the heart of everyone listening. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Bless your holy name. In Jesus mighty name we are praying. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So good afternoon, everybody, and I'm privileged to be bringing God's word again to God's people, and this I do with so much meekness, trusting God that he alone will, you know, instruct these people the way he wants to. Hallelujah. So quickly, we have to journey. We have to journey very far. We have a very interesting and very long subject to discuss. It's very interesting because there's so lot in package for us, so much that we'll be learning. Hallelujah. So, laying solid foundation for a happy home. Laying solid foundation for a happy home. Father, I'm asking that you take my lips of clay and use them to write. You pour your wisdom upon me and make my tongue be like the pen of a ready writer. And yet you will write restoration through these lips. You will write wisdom, Lord, in the name of Jesus. And I hear the people say, amen. Hallelujah. Right. So, let's journey far. Let's go with the Lord. Amen. So, I want to read a Bible passage. 1 Thessalonians 4. I believe this scripture will really help our hearts. Hallelujah. 1 Thessalonians 4. I start the reading from verse 3 to 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, from verse 3 to 4. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and in honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have found you and testified. So, verse 3 says that, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. And I'm going to tell you the reason why I had to read that scripture. Also, another scripture I would like to read quickly is the book of Psalms, chapter number 11, verse 3. Psalms, chapter number 11, verse 3. The Bible says, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? So to everything that is done well and right, there is a need for foundation. I've often shown you this scripture, that book of Proverbs 24, from verse 3, that says, true wisdom is a house built, and true understanding is established, and true knowledge, the chambers are filled with riches and precious things. Amen. So, the Bible said that you should bear your vessel in sanctification and avoid fornication. Fornication does so much damage to a man beyond the projection. I think an average Christian believes that the risk of fornication is just the tendency of entering into maternity or paternity earlier than expected, or the tendency of trying to hide the sin, then damage the womb and all those things. As much as those can be the immediate consequence of fornication, well, it goes deeper. In the place of fornicating, you expose yourself to a variety of choices. In the place of marriage, you are taught contentment. You will sit with one. For someone who has been exposed to a variety of choices, it becomes very difficult, because you have stretched yourself to do things beyond the boundary of grace provided for you. And there is somebody coming into your life, coming fresh, probably with experiences or no experience. And they might not measure up, because in the days that you should bear your burden before the Lord, you have dispatched your vessels out, and you've seen the things you should not see. So, it becomes more difficult because of the comparison that set in. Start comparing the wife, the styles, or many other things with that of other girls out there or other men out there. So, if we will do what the Word of God wants us to do, we'll have peace. Amen. To have, righteousness is peace, is joy and peace. Amen. So we'll have peace. Fornication exposes men to a well that has no depth. That the depth cannot be exhausted. James, speaking in James 1 verse 21, says that we lay aside all filthiness and superfluity of nothingness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save our soul. Amen. The Bible called such life superfluity of nothingness. It is vexation of the spirit. It's sin. There's nothing there. Amen. Sin is trying to purchase a package that looks flashy, only to discover that what is in the package is death. So the Bible said that the wages of sin is what? Death. So one of the best ways to lay good foundation, this is just an introduction, is to check what you do with yourself as a single. Check what you do with yourself as a single. Don't stretch yourself beyond what you should do. You get what I'm saying? Check what you do with yourself. It is good that a man will bear his yokes in the days of his youth. You get what I'm saying? That's what the word of the Lord says. So check. Honor God with that phrase. The season of youthfulness is a season you won't have twice. So it matters the way you spend it. It matters what you do with it, because it will not always be there. So you can use that season to lay good foundation. Submit your ideologies to God. You grew up from different homes, and sometimes those homes were more of indication of what didn't work. You hear what I'm saying? The family showed you more of what didn't work. So use the season of accountability as a youth to go in pursuit of the methods to make it work, to change environment and see how it can work or how it should work. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? The quality of a house is not always determined by the amount you have while building. If you have several amount of money, but you fail to lay well foundation, the foundation will put a cap of limitation on the level you should go. You hear what I'm saying? So you have laid a foundation, but it was shallow. Now, even if you change your mind and you want to build a very good edifice on it, the foundation will put a stop to it at a certain point. So it is always good to wait and lay important foundation. Hallelujah. And this is how to do well. Glory to God. So marriage is an institution that is ordained by God. God looked at Adam in Genesis chapter number 2. After that, God had given him instruction. Number 1, he was in the garden. He was in the presence of the Lord. He was in a place called Eden. And Eden means open heavens. Eden is the place where God can reach man. Eden is not a garden. Eden is a place where there is openness between the heaven and the earth. And a man who could dwell in both realms at once was there. He was a supernatural man. The word supernatural is coined from 2 words. Superior to natural. So he was superior to natural. Though natural, but takes his reference point from a divine realm. That was who Adam was. And that was the intention of God for man. So man was supernatural. Then he was walking the walk that God gave him. Walk is not a course. Walk is a commandment. Walk is anything you do that advances the kingdom and give you fulfillment. Job is what gives you money, but they may not give you fulfillment. You get what I'm saying? So work is a commandment. Work is from God. Work is what you do in line of your purpose. So Adam had a work. And then he had source of feeding. There was an unending source. So God looked at him in the midst of that work alone. Being alone is not the same as being lonely. Being alone is a state of doing things as an individual. Being lonely is a state of incompleteness. You get what I'm saying? So Adam wasn't lonely. He was alone. So God did not say it is not good that man should be lonely. God said it is not good that man should be alone. That I will now make him an helpmate. God did not say man needs a girlfriend. God said he needs a wife. You get what I'm saying? So loneliness really is a problem. Being alone is a state. The solution to loneliness is not marriage. The solution to loneliness is to know God better. You get what I'm saying? So frustration will start if you try to use marriage to solve a problem of loneliness. That is the genesis of frustration. Because you'll be expecting from a man what the Holy Ghost will do. You hear what I'm saying? You are not perfect. You are not complete. Marriage is supposed to be a decision that is made by 2 singles. Who are singles? Those who are alone and yet are not troubled. Those who are alone and yet are okay. You hear what I'm saying? The more there is anxious urge towards the need to get married, and that's the more you are likely going to fall into wrong hands. So the feeling of loneliness as a way of putting you under pressure to marry out of the circumference of God's will. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So Adam was alone. He was not lonely. So God said, it is not good that this man who is in me, who has taken my instruction, who has a work, it is not good that this man should be alone. So God said, I will now make him an helpmate. Then God said, I will make him an helpmate. Then God caused deep sleep to come upon him. An helpmate will not come until you sleep. An helpmate will not come until you sleep. What does it mean to sleep? To relax from your worries. To relax from your anxiety. To relax from your pressure. So God said, I will need to make this man an helpmate. One of the most important methods through which God made him the helpmate was that God had to cause him to sleep. Until you sleep, you can't get an helpmate. You have to rest from anxiety. Rest from the attempt to do it yourself. Rest from your own attempt to get done the things that God wants to do much more. So Adam slept. And when he slept, God performed a surgery. He brought out something from his rib called a bone. And with that bone, he made another being and called the being a woman. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So God removed a rib after he had slept and closed his side again. There was no scar. God made a woman. And then God made her pass before him. And then Adam saw her and said, wow, This is the flesh of my flesh, the bone of my bones. She shall not be called woman, for from the man she was taken. Nobody told him that. It was his supernatural state that revealed that. So the proof that, you know, Adam was another kind of man was that his sense of perception was accurate. He recognized his wife once. But before she came, God brought him a monkey. He named the monkey monkey. God brought a dog. He named the dog dog. God brought a goat. He named the goat goat. But amongst such animals was not found any helpmeet for him. There are people that will come into your life. You have to name them. This is a friend. This is a mentor. This is so and so and so. This is a father. This is this. You name correctly. So when the spouse comes, you can identify from the crowd and say, this is him or this is her. Your sense of perception must be accurate. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So Adam was deep in God. And when his wife came, he could recognize her. God brought her to him. I believe that a woman must be so lost in God that a man will have to find God and search God to find her. That even when she says no, he can go to her father and say, you are her father and my father. I am requesting of your daughter. And the father will say, hold on. I am her father. And she listens to my word. And God will bring the communications to her and she will hear. A woman has to be lost in God for a man to find. God brought Eve to Adam. Nightclub did not bring her. Are you getting what I'm saying? So they were both in the presence of God. It was a marriage in the presence. And that is why it was smooth. There was no need for delay or dragging here and there. They both recognized the will because they were deep in God. Are you getting what I'm saying? So God, if taken out of the equation, what you have will no longer be a marriage. It will be a mirage. When you travel on the road, particularly on sunny days, if you are driving, at some point you will see what looks like the presence of water on the road. True or not true? But when you approach, you discover that there's nothing there. And that is not what marriage is. Marriage only becomes like that when the two people involved have taken God out of the equation. Amen? So marriage is not a mirage. Hallelujah. I believe somebody is getting something. So, marriage is an institution that God established himself. God, in his wisdom, saw that it was not good for man to be alone. So, God decided to make an helpmeet. God decided out of what he saw. So, marriage is a product of God's wisdom. Hallelujah. Another definition of marriage I have here. Marriage is beyond a union between two lovers. Marriage is a union between two forgivers. Marriage is beyond a union between two lovers. Marriage is a union between two forgivers. If you ask the man that took a cutlass to cut the head of the wife out because she was cheating, if you ask him a question, do you love her? He will tell you he does. But there's something he has not come to learn, and that's the principle of forgiveness. Marriage is done knowing that the fellow you are marrying is human first. They are human. And then it is always going to work between two people who have learned to forgive in advance. Love without forgiveness breeds frustration. You get what I'm saying? And love, the kind of love that sustains marriage is beyond a feeling. It's beyond a feeling. It's beyond a feeling. The kind of love that sustains marriage is a decision. The decision that whenever we have conflict, it is not can we resolve this, it is how can we resolve this. Can we resolve this means if we can't, then I have to move. How can we means we are here. No matter what it is, we have to. Are you got what I'm saying? So the book of Amos chapter number 3 verse 3, this is one of the, you know, scriptures everyone knows. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So I have to help here at this point. List out things that it is important couples agree on. Because it is not just about you. Somebody also is coming. If you do everything right and that fellow is taking everything stout, there's going to be an issue. And that's why I'm going to talk majorly, you know, seriously on things that you have to make sure you and your spouse agree on. And if you are married and listening to me, it's not too late to review these things. Because if these things are not agreed on, there are going to be issues. Is somebody got what I'm saying? So it's very important. So two cannot work together except they be agreed. The reason why agreement is important is because the two people have been formed by two different things. And sociologists will tell you that man is a product of nature and nurture. Nature in the sense that how he was born, the makeup and all that. Nurture in the sense of how he was raised, the information he has. You get what I'm saying? So this fellow has been raised from a different home, then fed with another kind of information. Now you are saying, I want to work with you to spend the rest of my life with you. Now we are coming together also with another kind of information, raised from another kind of background. So it is important that there is a table where the two people involved will come put the things they have and agree together on certain things. And that's the reason why I'm taking you on this journey. Amen. I said amen. Good. So it is important that the two people involved will sit and agree on the following. Number one, the decision to stay and make it work. Amen. The decision to stay and make it work. If one fellow believes it must work and the other fellow is always looking for a way to check out when things are not fine, then there is a big problem. The two people involved of necessity needs to agree that as far as we are concerned, here we have to decide that this will work at all cost. Is somebody got what I'm saying now? So the two people need to agree that this marriage must work. It has come to stay. Let's look at the book of Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians 5. So I start reading from verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. Amen. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me say this to you. Familiarity kills most homes. Over familiarity, sorry, kills most marriages than outsiders do. So you need to make a decision that we will never get over familiar with each other. We will honor each other at all times. Is somebody following me? That you are not easily giving up. Check. Because one of the things you need to deal with as a weakness, most people don't know it's a weakness, is the culture of giving up on time. Alright, you've been in places that you were offended once and you checked out. You will lie and say a word like God has come to announce to you that your time, the time you spent here, is over, and then you check out. You go to another place, somebody does something you do not like, then you check out. So you have already built a culture of checking out. If that is not addressed in marriage, you'll soon check out. So the two people need to sit down and agree. Today we are happy. Because marriage doesn't last simply because you are going out to eat and going to swimming pool and going to tourist centers. What will determine where its longevity is what you do with the days that the both of you are not happy. What you do with the days of storm. The days of happiness is not the true test of the longevity of the marriage. You get what I'm saying? But the days of storm, what do you turn into? A beast or a prayer warrior? So it is expedient that the both people will sit down and agree. Are we agreeing that this must work? We are not going to have a place in future for divorce. Once that is set, then you have to set some structures. Number one, we will have to always forgive each other. Forgiveness. Number two, openness. We will not hide before ourselves. Number three, there will be plenty of apologies. when you are wrong, you will admit you are wrong and apologize. Particularly for men, the moment a man set a structure, you know, and tell himself that in my family where I was raised, men don't apologize to women. That's a trouble. That's an accident waiting to happen. That's a time bomb. That you apologize does not make you less of a man. It makes you a real man. Because a real man is not afraid to be wrong. And he's not afraid to admit that he was wrong. The second decision you must make is the decision to honor each other at all times. Honor. On your wedding day, for the lady, your father will hold you by the hand and walk you down the aisle, and there will be a man waiting, either with tears on his face, in amazement, wondering how he was able to earn favor from God to get this beautiful damsel, or with a very bright smile on his face with excitement, because people have different ways they react to excitement. Some may cry and wonder in their heart and remember all the pains they've had, the disappointment, the people who told them that they were not going to get married, the challenges that threatened the union. Different, irrespective of the look on his face, your father will hold you by the hand and walk you down the aisle, and there will be a man waiting. And your father will do an handover. He will hand your hand over to him, meaning that today I am also in agreement that from now henceforth you are a new father, husband and lover. And the Bible also told you as the man ahead in Genesis 2 that for this reason shall a man leave his father and his mother and he shall cleave to his wife. Meaning that the woman coming into your life is not just a babe, she's a kind of mother. So the Bible said that for your days to be long, you must honor your father and mother. Meaning that both of you must honor each other. If not, you will not have longevity. You will frustrate each other and die of hypertension. So you must agree that you will honor each other. Honor is key. And one of the reasons why you need to make the decision of honor is that in marriage, it is possible to fall into the trap of over-familiarity. Amen. So, you have to decide to honor each other at all times. So, I wrote different areas that you have to honor each other with. Alright, you have to honor each other at all times. Number one, honor your marriage bed. Don't share it with strangers. Honor your marriage bed. Don't share it with strangers. Honor your marriage bed. Don't share it with strangers. Those who try to use marriage to solve the problem of fornication will only graduate into adulterers. If you try to use marriage to solve the weakness of fornication, you will graduate into an adulterer. You have to deal with the fornication, the nature of fornication. Deal with it before you get married. Because when you get married with it, you will not be satisfied with one. You will want various varieties. Amen? Somebody get what I'm saying? Alright, so honor your marriage bed. Don't share it with strangers. Number two, honor yourselves during your dispute. Honor each other in the moment of dispute. Honor each other in the moment of dispute. Honor each other in the moment of dispute. Alright, honor yourself. Don't take your matters to families. And I think most people need to learn from here. And that's why marriage is not a union between dummies. It is for the mature. Those who are not faint in heart. Those who are strong. Those who are mature. You take matters to family members. Even when you solve it, they will not forget. And should anything happen, they attack. You hear what I'm saying? So you have confidence that you listen to. But you must honor each other enough not to take the matters to outsiders. So honor each other during moment of dispute. Honor your vow. Stay committed. You pledge to be there in sickness and in health, in wealth and in lack. So honor the vow. Stay committed. Honor God. Honor God. I told you that marriage is not just between a man and a woman. It is with God at their center. Honor God. Amen. So, it is important that both parties are in very serious quest to honor God in their home. Hallelujah. So it is important that you honor God. So there must be a decision to honor God. There must be a decision to honor the marriage vow. There must be a decision to honor each other during dispute. There must be a decision to honor the marriage bed and not defile it with strangers. The third decision you need to make, the third agreement you need to have. You must agree to keep the family altar always on fire. The family altar must always be on fire. The family altar must always be on fire. Don't joke with prayer. The family altar must always be on fire. Look at what the Bible said in the book of Leviticus 6 verse 12. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out, and the priest shall burn wood on it morning by morning, and lay the burnt offering in order upon it. And that's why you as a man must learn. It is important you are a priest of your home. It is important you are a priest, not a child. Not the one they have to be begging to serve God. Now, one of the best ways to learn to keep marriage altar on fire now is that you have a consistent prayer life now. It is marriage that will reveal whether your life has been a lie or you have been truthful. You see what I'm saying? So in marriage, it will be clear whether you have been living a life of lies or you are truthful. Hallelujah. So you must decide to honor God. Your marriage, your family altar must always be fresh. Your family altar must always be fresh. Listen, it is when your family altar is not fresh that you fight each other the battles you fight the devil. One of the major things that destroys most home is that when the devil came to attack, they were busy attacking each other instead of coming together as a team to face the enemy. The Bible said in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 4, from verse 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. In verse 4, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of what? Strongholds. If you don't teach your spouse to pray, you get what I'm saying? Listen, hold on. If you don't teach your spouse to pray, you are building a trouble that both of you will have to go and face tomorrow. I understand that you are busy enjoying this moment, eating ice cream, you know what I'm saying? Doing all those things. But until you have learned to study and pray together, there is no enviable future ahead. Because people play. You see, you can't change the system. You can't cheat the system. People think that it is all about the merriment and all those things. And that's why to all the men I have around me, you know what I'm saying? I cannot be holding a meeting and you are there as a man and you are creating excuses for your spouse. Or you are there as a lady and you are creating excuses for your spouse. Now you will think the excuses is a proof that you love them. But no. The love is a kind of love that will bring both of you onto depreciation. Anything you are doing rightly, it is important you drag your spouse there. If you watched a video on Facebook and you discover that the video blessed you and will solve a problem in future, tag them. Or you copy the link and send to them. You saw something on YouTube. You saw that it will be a blessing to the marriage. Because it takes two to tangle. Don't eat these things alone. Show it to them. Are you getting what I'm saying now? If you go alone before God and you leave the other fellow behind, the devil will maximize well the fellow you are leaving behind. So it is important you drag each other before God. And listen, it is totally impossible to drag each other to bed before marriage and still drag each other to prayer, except your conscience is dead. When you start touching, you start misbehaving. You must fight fornication in your relationship the same way you are fighting the devil. Fornication is a wild beast. It tears any home apart. People marry each other, they don't know each other. That's why the fact that they've dated for 5 years. Because they've been sleeping with each other all the years. And when you start sleeping with each other, your face is veiled. You will no longer see the things you should see. Is somebody following me? So, you need to have a decision that the family altar will be kept fresh at all times. We'll be people of prayer. In this home, we will pray.
We're going to wait upon the Lord for answers. When we come to a crossroad, God is our solution. You get what I'm saying? The family that prays together stays together. It is a very important principle. The home that stays together, that prays together, stays together. But, you know, the ones that fail to pray together, they break up. There's a song we used to sing when we were young. That when Jesus is in the family, happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. Do you want to be happy? Run to God. Make sure you give yourself to prayer. Don't make excuses for your spouse. Don't give them reasons not to follow God. Don't give them reasons not to follow God. Don't walk in solidarity that will lead both of you to destruction. Don't agree to destroy each other's future. If somebody is already trying to sleep with you, scream and reach out for help. That's the best way to save that relationship. If you both have to kneel before God daily to seek answers from God, if you both have to kneel before God daily to pray, it will be impossible to divorce. You know why? Hold on. It means nobody's ever going to go to bed with grudges. Listen, hold on. Don't build the kind of prayer structure that is not consistent. It is a trap. The days you have dispute, you will not do it at all. Make sure your structure is such that it's daily. The priest shall burn wood on the altar daily. No matter the challenges you are facing, you know that at night, we both have to kneel down together, hold hands and pray. So since we know we have to pray, it means we have to agree and solve this problem. It means in that marriage, there will never be a day that one will sit, will sleep and turn the back. The other one will sleep and turn the back also. You get what I'm saying? That is a decision. Prayer will help all the both of you together. We know every night in my home, myself and my wife have to hold hands to pray. So there's no such thing as holding grudges. Because in the place of prayer, we have to come before God with a password, which is thank you. We have to come before His gate with thanksgiving. We have to serve the Lord with gladness. You see, this is only possible when you have learned to allow God's word form a foundation for your life. You see, you know you have a problem the moment you have issues. And you are saying, let's leave scripture aside and face reality. Any reality you have outside scripture is a destructive reality. Is somebody following me? Is somebody following me? Any reality you build outside scripture is a destructive reality. So there must be a decision. You know, you must make sure that the structure you are building, hold on. Your structure must be stronger than the both of you. One of the reasons why Africa is backward is that we don't have structures that are stronger than individuals. The only way for you not to be an abuser, not to abuse structure, is that you must empower the structure above each other. Prayer is compulsory in the house. Meaning that it is not possible for one to say, I'm too tired to pray. Before God, both of us are submitted here. We have to pray. And that is only going to happen if we have two individuals that were praying daily before they became married. And that's why on the mentorship platform, the first thing I try to teach everyone is let's build a structure of praying daily. It must be there. So the family altar must be hot. You hear what I'm saying? If the family altar is not hot, the family bed will become a boxing ring. Let me say it again. If the family altar is not hot, the family bed, the matrimonial bed, will become a boxing ring. Luke 18 verse 1, this parable Jesus told them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint. Okay, you know 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Make prayer your default setting. Make prayer your default setting. Talking about things you need to agree on. Agree on the decision to keep the family altar running at all cost. The fourth thing you need to agree on. Agree on your methods of conflict resolution. Agree on your methods of conflict resolution. Agree on your methods of conflict resolution.
So I list out a few things here that will help. Number one, let me show you a scripture, the book of James, chapter number 3, verse 2. The Bible said that he that offendeth not in words is a perfect man. But let me read that scripture so you can get it. James 3, verse 2. You should write this scripture down. These are scriptures that will guide you as singles. James 3, 2. Is somebody learning? Is somebody following me? Amen. Now look at it. James chapter number 3, verse 2. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able to bridle the whole body. Meaning that we must try at all cost to see that our words are seasoned with grace. Agree on methods of conflict resolution. People are different, but despite the differences, learn the following. Number one, you may be right, but when you're on top of your voice, you are wrong. You may be right, but when you're on top of your voice, you are wrong. Your wife is not your puppet. Your husband is not your doll. Make a decision never to shout at each other. You may be right, but when you're on top of your voice, you are wrong. Number two, nagging doesn't work. Nagging doesn't work. It is an attempt to use the arm of the flesh to get what you should get spiritually. Nagging doesn't work. Amen. Is somebody following me? I'm talking about method of conflict resolution here. The third thing, reporting to outsiders only escalate matters and make you both instrument of mockery. There are people who listen, but they only listen for information, not because they care. So reporting to outsiders will make both of you instrument of mockery. It doesn't work. And it is important I quickly strengthen this fact that it is important that in a marriage, you both have somebody, either a spiritual father or a spiritual mother, someone that you both listen to. And that fellow is not in the category of outsider. You get what I'm saying? Let's put that balance. But for a woman to go and make her hair and to bring the issue of her husband to the place where she's making her hair before women who also want the man secretly is to make herself an instrument of mockery. And let me also say this to you so you can learn. In human relationship, those who talk others to you will talk you to others. Those who talk others to you will talk you to others. So you come to say this, your friend, you know, is a friend who listens to you, and that fellow too will bring issue of other family, and you to bring your family to that friend. That friend will also take your matter to other families. So reporting each other to friends and to outsiders doesn't work. It makes both of you instrument of mockery. They will mock you. You know, the conflict will go, but what you do with each other will remain. So each time you have a conflict, make sure there is an underlying knowledge in your heart. These two will pass. If you know it will pass, don't use words that will put a permanent scar on the fellow. If you know it will pass, don't ever use words that will damage the esteem of this fellow. Being a man doesn't mean you should be destructive in nature. Being a woman, because I've seen people use excuse and say, I'm a woman, women talk. And because you're a woman, mean that you should be destructive. If a woman is going to build a house, she has to learn to keep her mouth shut. There are people that when they talk to you, you feel like dying. You can't bring that attitude into your home. Because you are trying to build something, and it requires wisdom, skillfulness. It requires the fruit of the Spirit. You are not coming from the street. You are coming to have a civilized environment. Is somebody get what I'm saying here? So you can't afford to just shout and be violent on each other. So it doesn't work. Violence doesn't work. Verbal, emotional, and domestic abuse doesn't work. To
talk somebody down and refer her back to her mother's house. It's not the way to be a man. To have, because listen, you must bridle your tongue. You must teach yourself character. The way some Christians behave, they can't last. You must teach yourself character. You must empower the Spirit of God at work in you to be able to tell you, keep quiet and you will be quiet. You must teach yourself character. Alright, two. But shouting and insulting and calling yourself names doesn't work. If you have been doing that before, go to God. Be on a retreat. Tell God, let this nature of flesh die. Because sometimes you are asking for a peaceful home, but you are not peaceful. Sometimes you are asking for a happy home, but you are not happy. You are a tyrant. Alright, now you are young. When you are at home, everybody has to keep everything short. They have to up the television. And you are not married yet. When you are married, what will happen? Alright, start checking. How do you talk to people around you? How do you talk when you are angry? How do you talk to your mother? How do you talk to your father? How do you talk to your siblings? Alright, don't ignore those red lights. Listen. Every conflict in a marriage has only come to pass. But it matters what you allow it do to you. It matters. Don't abuse each other. Listen, the day you raise your hand to hit a woman, you are officially not a man anymore. Don't ever raise your hand to hit a woman. But why should you even do that? Why should you even do that? Is somebody following me? And there are women also who are very angry. You see, this thing called anger is a very dangerous beast. If you don't tame it, it will tear you. Anger. When you are angry, you destroy things. Before you know it, you are carrying. So there are Christians who are tongue speaking, but are notorious people when they are angry. They are like tiger. In fact, you know, there are people whose default setting is anger. You hear what I'm saying? Their default setting, with or without anything, they are naturally always angry. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? If you want a happy home, contribute happiness. Violence doesn't work. To call your spouse a fool, how did you do that? How can you look? Because you might have seen a destructive marriage. That doesn't mean you should repeat the same trend. How can you look at your wife or your husband and call him names? Even God, hold on. Even God, when man fell and God was telling them the consequence of the fall, God looked at Adam and said, the ground is cursed for your sake. How can you look at each other and call each other names? You know, there are ladies that when they are offended, or guys, before you know it, they just remove the respect, they put your name and then call you by your name. Bam. That's the structure. You have to learn to hold yourself back. You know what I'm saying? When brake is not in a car, accident is inevitable. Let there be bridle in your tongue. You can't be angry and just talk, throw words into the air. This word is damaging somebody. Later you will come back and asking, why is this fellow not free? You've killed the fellow. Words can kill, sir. Okay? Violence doesn't work. Malice doesn't work. Malice is a sign that you are not formed. Malice doesn't work. Alright, if there's anything that works, communication does. Alright, confess your fault one to another. James 5. Confess your fault one to another. And that is why don't rush. Don't rush to want to build. You just want to marry. Build friendship and make sure it is solid. Is somebody following me here? Build friendship. You see, listen. With a friend, you can always talk. True or not true? Yes. With a friend, you can always talk. You know, people get married, they can't even talk to each other about their sexual satisfaction because this one calls the husband daddy, mommy. You know, you are 25, your husband is 27, you are already calling each other daddy and mommy. You are not friends. You break the barrier. Break the barrier. If the guy is somebody who is cold, who is always cold, break the ice. Because sometimes the fact that he's always cold and always gentle doesn't mean he's that gentle. There may be a beast on the inside. Alright? Try to check what is there. Shake the tree and see the kind of food that will fall. Is somebody following me here? Is somebody following what I'm saying here? So break the barrier. Make sure there is solid friendship. With a friend, you can talk. When your friend cook and you don't, the taste, you feel salt is too much, you will not keep it inside and be angry and say, that was how you did last week. Salt was too much in that food. If you have to be making reference to last week, last month, it means your friendship is not solid. So talk. Let understand, discuss each other with each other. That's why you are married. All right. What do you like? What don't you like? Lay it bare. Life is not complicated. You get what I'm saying? If you miss your spouse, call. Don't say he expect to know that I'm missing him. Is he a ghost? He should know by now I should be missing. If you are angry, talk. Don't say by now you should know I'm angry. Talk. Is anyone afflicted? Let them pray. That's why we relate with God. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? Somebody did something you didn't like, say it. Because listen, that you keep everything inside and pile them up is not the same thing as gentleness. You are just piling something that will explode someday. And oh boy, the day they will explode, it will be messy. So make sure you have nothing waiting to explode. Say it when it's there. Hallelujah. Please, ladies, be deep. Oh. Ladies, you must be deep. Majority of these guys who are just quiet up and down, check what is inside. Oh. You get what I'm saying? Check what is inside. This guy who is just quiet. Anytime you offend him, he say all is well, Sister Jane. You know, you don't have to do that. All is well. You know, I'm here for you. Ah, a real man will tell you, I don't like what you did. You came late for that appointment, but I felt you should have been earlier. Yeah? You get what I'm saying? Say it at the spot, but say it in a way that you will not communicate aught to each other. Is somebody following me? So agree together. Know what doesn't work. Malice doesn't work. Say it. Malice will help you pile it up and explode someday. Never cooperate with the devil to bring your home down. Don't ever cooperate. The devil wants your home bitter. He wants your home very painful. Don't cooperate with him to bring it down. Is somebody following me? So, don't ever cooperate with the devil to bring your home down. So, the fifth thing you need to agree on. Is somebody following me? The fifth thing you need to agree on. There's one more thing you need to agree on. Agree on your finance. Agree on your finance. Money is very crucial. Alright? Listen, if you want to be happy in life, be very realistic. Money is what? Crucial. Money is what? Crucial. Money is what? Crucial. I will not advise that anybody should marry without a consistent source of income. At least, no matter how small it may be, because both of you are agreeing that you can be okay with this, it must be consistent. Is somebody following me? A consistent source of what? Income. So, in all cases, it is best to be open. All right, agree on your finances. I sincerely doubt if all is well with a marriage where the husband doesn't know the amount of money the wife is earning and the wife doesn't know the amount of money the husband is earning. It means these two are not vulnerable with each other. It means there is an ought they have not dealt with. There is something they need to forgive. So agree on your finance. Agree. Be open. Money is not your God. You know, it is amazing how that people can freely give each other their body and they find it difficult to give each other their money. You hear what I'm saying? It shows that money has a very deep root in people's life. The root of money is very deep in people's life. Hallelujah. So agree on savings. How much do you want to save from what enters? Let there be agreement on that. Agree on roles and duties. Alright, who buys the foodstuff? Who pays the school fees? Who pays the bill, the internet bill, water bill, the light bill, and all the necessary bills, the waste bin bills? You hear what I'm saying? Because the idea is that both of you are coming together to make life easier. So it is very, it is really painful to see how that people are coming together, but they are not willing to truly assist each other. So there should be agreement. Don't make this the load of somebody. And let me say this to those who are in ministry. If you are called to full-time ministry, make sure your wife is working. Listen. If you say God has called to full-time ministry, and right yet you are still young, money is not forthcoming, make sure your spouse is working. There are so many people out there who are angry. The husband said God has come to full-time ministry. The wife also is a full-time housewife. They'll be hungry. There's no happiness where there's hunger. As a man, be responsible enough to be open about this. Don't bring a woman from her father's house to suffer. And this I must say emphatically. It's very important. I need to say this and stress it for the sake of those who say they've been called to ministry. It is not a crime to be called to ministry. But it is important that you also be so open with the ministry that at least something enters. You get what I'm saying? Something is coming in. If you are the founder of the ministry, let there be a structure. The way the church was made from the beginning is such a way that they can support the priest that has been sent to them. So let there be a structure around the ministry. Don't start up a union where both of you will have to be hungry. Some things are not necessary. There are some wilderness experiences we go through that are not necessary experience. What was necessary in the journey of the Israelites was 40 days. Alright, the remaining 39 years and 8 months and 10 days wasn't necessary. So some sufferings are not necessary. And I have to be very truthful with you. It may hurt you now, but it will do you good tomorrow. When you see, don't try to jump over the issue of finance, because you will meet it in future. Say it out. Be plain. If what you are earning is 50,000 naira, how much is she earning? Agree. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Don't lie to her that you are earning 150 when you are earning 50. So when she comes, she's meeting loads of shockers on ground. Agree with each other. Alright, agree on roles. Agree on standard of living. Standard of living. What are the necessary? What are the essentials? What are the non-essentials? Can we afford them? If we can't, what are the things we should major our attention on? I'm trying to be as basic as possible. Is somebody following what I'm saying? How often should we buy stuffs at the end of the month? Alright. Once there are structures, it will be easy to do other things without sweat. Structure is, you see, any home that there is no structure, there is no enviable future. There has to be structure. Be willing to support each other. You are both children of God. Alright? Be willing to support each other. Listen, as a man and as a woman, make sure you are not listening to those who are on their way to destruction. Because when you listen to them, they will teach you, hide your money from your husband, hide your money from your wife. And before you know it, you are already becoming strangers. Don't pick advice from your parents' marriage that didn't really work well. Check what works. Obey God's word. Two are becoming naked, unashamed. Because we have issue with money. Is somebody following me? People have issues with money. So agree with each other. Amen. And God will give you wisdom. Let me encourage you. Don't be too sensitive about money. You hear what I'm saying? God takes care of the birds of the air. When they are neither sowing nor reaping, the Bible said he will take care of you. He wants to bless the work of your hands. Well, it is important you give him something to bless. He wants to bless the work of your hands, but he will not just bless your hands. He will bless what is on your hands. So what do you bring to God? Anything you do, as long as it is not stealing and illegal, do it with confidence. Somebody who loves you the way you are will come. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Don't be ashamed of your craft. Agree on the decision to spend time alone. A romantic time. Not just retreat. Let me emphasize. A romantic time alone. Take each other out. Surprise each other. Buy a gift. Know what your spouse loves. Know the love language. Is it gift? One of the ways to know the love language of your spouse is to check what they give most. Somebody who loves gift will give gift more. Somebody who loves word of affirmation will give word of affirmation more. Somebody who loves attention will give attention more. You hear what I'm saying? spend romantic time together. A time is coming, you will start having children, or now you even have children. Before those children came, you met each other first and fell in love with each other. So don't make those children your first love. You must remain each other's first love. The children must forever be secondary. You are primary. Because a time is coming, they will get married and go to their own houses. It is both of you that will be together, the same way you were in the beginning. So make sure you invest ahead of that time. Take each other out. Alright? The woman should learn to take the man out also. The man should take the wife out. Go on vacation. Go on an island alone. Enjoy good food. You hear what I'm saying? Enjoy good food, good sex. Because, you know, in church, we don't like to mention that word. Good sex. Enjoy it. Enjoy the wife of your youth. Because this fellow will not be young forever. You get what I'm saying? You both will not be young forever. So whilst you are young, enjoy each other. Is somebody following what I'm saying now? And you will see the hand of God. So that is wisdom. Learn to spend time alone. So build quality time in a romantic atmosphere. Don't go and have romance on prayer mountain. You know what I'm saying? Don't go and have romance on what prayer mountain. Take her to spa, the spa. Alright? Take her to a very good eatery. Go out. And there is a time to do it with the family, and there is a time to do it alone. Check your wife up and say, "Oh my God, baby." Learn to use good words. You know what I'm saying? After marriage, her name is not Mommy Me. Call her Angel, Sweetheart, Honey, Sugar, Baby. Have an intelligent name. I understand you are coming from a village. Don't bring the village into the marriage. You get what I'm saying? Very important. If you are a rich man, your wife is the reflection of your wealth. If that woman is not looking well, you are poor. Very important. What can I do to make my home joyful, always, and happy? What can I do? Number one, it is important that Jesus is in the center of that home. Because if he's not, then the devil will be there. Light is the effect, the consequence of absence of light. So make sure both of you, first and foremost, you are married from the family of God. Amen. If you have not, you didn't marry a fellow as a Christian, start praying for the salvation of the fellow. If currently now both of you are not born again, run to God. Until God becomes the center of that home, peace is not guaranteed. So, man is, in his natural state, is a beast though. It is the presence of God in the life of a man that tames him down. Are you following what I'm saying now? Good. So, work on yourself to have a happy home. Work on yourself. Work on yourself. Work on yourself. There are things that needs to be worked upon. You are not perfect. Listen, hold on. Don't work on your spouse first. Your spouse is not the problem first. Work on yourself first. Work on yourself first. Are you getting what I'm saying? So work on yourself. Happiness begins with you, not your partner. Happiness begins with you, not your partner. Are you happy? You know you have to consciously remain joyful. Yes. You notice that by nature you are just like a tiger, always angry at every little provocation. Start learning to be happy. Are you getting what I'm saying? Start learning it. Be happy. Rejoice forevermore. Rejoice. There are people that when they are even watching comedy show, they are asking, "Is it funny?" You are not a sadist, sir. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are not a what? Sadist. So be happy. Happiness starts with you, not your spouse. So you cannot work on yourself until you have done the following. Number one, know yourself. Know yourself. To know yourself is to know your strengths and weaknesses. To know your likes and dislikes. Amen. And number two, accept yourself. Any attempt to work on yourself without first accepting yourself, you frustrate yourself. The reason why sometimes we face frustration is that we are trying to work on things we have not accepted. Accept yourself. When you have accepted yourself, work on your strength. Build more on your strength and work on your weaknesses. But make sure that your strength is your major focus. Number four, there are things you can't change, discard them. There are things you can't change, discard them. You can't change the family you are coming from. Alright? You can't change it, accept it. You can't change your past, accept it. And be bare with each other about it. So discard yourself. You can't change your temperament. Because your husband likes people who are cool, calm and collected. You are sanguine by nature, always happy, jumping up and down. That is who you are. You get what I'm saying? You are what you are, a cross he has to carry. So be happy all the time. You get what I'm saying? Be happy. Jump up and down. That's your own nature. Accept your temperament. If at least you have to mellow down some things, first accept your temperament. You get what I'm saying? Very important. The second thing you can do to make your home happy, be deliberate with words. Be very deliberate with words. Be very deliberate with words. Words are powerful. They can build, they can tear down, they can heal, they can destroy, they can revive and they can kill. Be deliberate with words. Don't ever tell each other hurtful things that will destroy each other. Be very deliberate. Amen. I want to show us the book of James, chapter number 3, from verse 5 to 6. James 3, from verse 5 to 6. James 3, from verse 5 to 6. I'll read from here. James 3, verse 5 to 6. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasted great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue amongst our members, that it defileth the whole body and set on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire of hell. Amen. You know, there is a kind of word you can tell each other that you'll never trust each other again. And there's a kind of word you can tell each other that you forgive each other right away. Words. People are very careless with words. You say things because you are angry, forgetting that the anger will go, or you have left a major scar here. You are Christians first before you became lovers. Is somebody following me? You are Christians before you became lovers. So it is important that words, you check them carefully. They have to be seasoned with grace. Let what proceed from your mouth be what is seasoned with grace, that which can heal. Soft words turn away rot. There is a way somebody will be angry and then the word spoken will even melt the whole thing down. Make sure you and your spouse are not angry at the same time. If one is taking it south, the other should be bringing it down and then saying, calm down. Now you get what I'm saying here. You know, there's a principle I learned from T.D. Jakes, and that is that you don't vomit your rot when you are angry. Sometimes you are angry about something. It's okay to be angry, but you have to say not. Somebody has done something that is so painful, and you have to wait for all the deadly things you might have said out of that frustration to pass. And make sure it is not long. Make sure it is not taking you a week or 2 days. You know what I'm saying? And then you select the words carefully and then say them. Hallelujah. Be deliberate with words. This is a very important point. To have a happy home, quit trying to change your spouse. The attempt to change a man is to sign up for frustration. You want to do in him what only the Holy Spirit can do. God is the unchangeable changer. You see, look up. In marriage, at the end of the day, it becomes relatively peaceful when the both party now recognize that this is who my spouse is. I only have to accept him that way. It will be frustrating as long as you want to change the fellow. You know, and there are people who are so much in a worry about this. They are not patient. They want to change the way the fellow talk. This fellow has lived all her life that way. Alright, this is the way she is. You hear what I'm saying? You have to be patient. Listen, transformation is easy in the face of love. not in the face of accusation. You have to be patient. You have to be patient. And then trust God. Say it. Particularly days you are happy, find a way to chip those things in. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So remove the idea that you can at any, you know, use any method to change your spouse. You can't. Now let me say this. Don't manipulate each other with sex. Alright, don't let those things you want to ask wait for the moment that are supposed to have good time on your marriage bed. It is manipulation, and manipulation is witchcraft. If you already have the structure now that whenever you want something, you have to wait for the moment that the other fellow to want something, then you now flag up your own things. You are manipulating the fellow. Manipulation doesn't build homes. Amen. If your home will be happy, remember that happiness comes a moment at a time. Give each other memories, to things to remember. Create good memories, not bad ones. Create good memories. Give each other things to remember. Is somebody following me here? Build it a day at a time. Alright? This issue of fighting all the time. Somebody is going, and this one has driven off, or this one will go with another car, and then say, when you are ready, come join me. You are not investing happiness into the home. Eventually, it will break. Remember that it is possible for your partner to be in that relationship, but yet gone. So you have to decide that you will do each other good. Only up good, only all the days of your life. Spend time, pray together. Spend time, go out. Spend time, study the word together. Your persuasion must be the same. Listen to the same messages. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Anything you want to see, invest it there. And let me round up by saying this. You are a prophet. Your words are powerful. If you always tell this fellow that you are cold spiritually, they'll become cold. If you always call that guy broke, you'll be more broke. If you always, you see, listen, you must learn to call forth the things that be not as though they were. Tell each other, we can't struggle. You know, sometimes you just have to learn the culture of doing spontaneous things and are surprising, leaving good messages for your spouse, leaving gifts on their table, go to their place of work and surprise them on their birthdays. To say you forgot your spouse's birthday is a crime. It's unpardonable. These are things you must not make. You must show to each other that you take each other serious. You get what I'm saying? If you have a woman or a man that love you, love them the same way. If you are there, be there with your commitment. Hallelujah. Anything you want to see, invest it in there. And God will strengthen you. Your home will be sweet in the name of Jesus. I believe someone has been blessed. Edified one way or the other. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you in the name of Jesus. Your home will not become a boxing ring. It will be heaven on earth. I prophesy healing upon that relationship, healing upon that marriage in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed.
True transformation is evident for doers and not just hearers of the word. Be a doer of these words of transformation.
To reach us, send an email to femilazarus326@gmail.com. Stay blessed.